Welcome to the PR Moment Podcast. Produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
Welcome to the PR Moment Podcast and welcome to our October review, doesn't time fly, of PR pitches and mergers and acquisitions in the UK PR scene with Andrew Block. As you may know, he's the lead consultant of PR social content and influencer at the new business consultancy firm AAR, and he's a partner at PCB Partners, where he advises on the buying and selling of marketing services agencies. He was also a co-founder at Frank PR, where he's still a non-executive director. Thanks so much to our PR Moment Podcast sponsors, the PRCA. And a reminder, if you haven't already, do book your ticket. It's coming up and it's about just over a month's time at the PR Masterclass, the Agency Growth Forum. At this one event, 22 experts will give 11 masterclasses on the essential elements of managing a modern, profitable and successful PR firm. Andrew, welcome.
Hello, Ben.
It's been a busy month, hasn't it? Go on, kick us off with your rundown of this month's October pitch wins.
Of course, yeah, it has been busy. We're sort of entering the golden quarter as we run up to Christmas and people plan for the new year. So we kick off straight away with a lovely win for the Romans at Deliveroo. So they've been handed the consumer comms account, Big Bang Creative, to support the brand strategic pillars, calendar moments, right in their sweet spot. Previously, that was with Talker Taylor, troublemaker, sadly no longer with us, who did some amazing work for them, actually. So big shoes to fill for the Romans.
Yeah, and no one's had that since Talker Taylor. It's been on a bit of a gap, or maybe Romans have had a project, who knows. But they picked that one up.
They have. So well done to them.
And no, the PHA. I mean, they're always, we always chat about PHA, don't we? What have they won this time?
I know, they're a machine. England Golf. So they are the country's governing body for amateur golf. And the role is to increase participation. It's a series of projects under this sort of umbrella campaign called Why I Golf. Things like celebrating female success in the sport, respect in golf, DE&I initiatives. I've never heard of it, to be honest, but that's probably because I don't play golf. Right. But they're pretty big, 1,800 clubs, 720,000 members. It's a big organisation.
Yeah, let's hope they won it before the Ryder Cup, because that would have been quite a nice little news jack, wouldn't it? But maybe you should play golf, Andrew. And another one for Stripe, and they're one that we talk about a lot, aren't they?
Yeah, Stripe continue their run of new business wins, this time with White and McKay. They've actually won the social media for it, not the PR. Lots of sort of whiskey brands. Jura is one of my personal favourites. And so, you know, the usual sort of content planning, community management, social strategy. So nice win for them.
And Made by Giants have picked up a good one.
They have. I'm really pleased for them. They have won YouLend. It's a finance platform. So you might not have heard of them, but you'll have heard of their partners, brands like Amazon, eBay, Shopify. They're actually the global agency of record they've been appointed as. So everything from sort of strategic comms, new partner announcements, media relations. So decent win for them.
Yeah, good one that. And Taylor Herring, what have they been up to?
Taylor Herring have won the retained business for Sky Mobile and Sky Broadband. So everything sort of encompassing big projects and product launches through to the day-to-day press office. Taylor Herring have, I think they go back 15-odd years of doing projects within the sort of broadcast space and the entertainment divisions of Sky. Now they've been appointed on a retained basis, so a bit of stability for them, which I'm sure they're pleased with.
Go on. And the next one, just talk us through that, because is it speed or is it mission?
Well, good question. So speed's
on a mission.
Well, it's actually Mission Group, which within it, they own Speed and they own Crow. Together, they have won the post office, with Speed handling the PR, Crow becoming the lead creative agency.
Which bit of the post office is that? Do we know? Because this post office used to be a big old account, didn't it? I don't know whether it still is.
It still is a sizable account. So what they're going to be promoting is what they call over-the-counter services. as well as the role of the post office in communities, businesses, the economy. So I think, you know, people know bits about the post office, but they don't necessarily know everything that the post office does. And what they've done is created a special sort of purpose vehicle within the mission group to handle the account, which is called Cloak Lane. Do you know why they called it that?
No.
No, I didn't either. But Cloak Lane was the site of England's first post office in the City of London in 1548. There's a bit of trivia for you.
Clever. And you said Tiger Bond?
Yeah, Tiger Bond, great win for them. Just Giving, so the fundraising platform, and their role is both consumer and corporate, raising the profile of the brand, shining a light on the people who've done amazing things via the platform. So really nice one there.
They're another agency who seem to be doing quite well at the moment.
They are. They're a great agency. They've, you know, got a really interesting approach to how they handle PR, very creative, very, very good at media relations, and an equal strength in both consumer and corporate.
And news from Pitch?
News from Pitch. They have won the social media account for EA Sports FC. If you have children, they probably spend their entire life playing it. I know mine do anyway. So EA Sports FC is what was formerly known as FIFA. Interesting brief. It's actually about driving engagement on TikTok. And Pitch have got a dedicated social media unit called Pitch Platforms. They've also got a dedicated production unit called Pitch Productions, which is their social first creative studio. And yeah, actually, as a consumer, I've seen loads of the work that they've been pushing out, and it's excellent. So well done to them.
And Third City, a big win for them on the face of it.
Yes, Third City have won Nespresso, a specific area around Nespresso. It's to promote their sustainability commitments, highlighting the capsules being recyclable, showcasing local initiatives.
I think they're both B Corps, aren't they? I don't know if that's how they...
They are, yeah, they are both B Corps. Yeah. I think Nespresso became a B Corp last year. Not sure when Third City became a B Corp.
Somewhat controversial, as I remember, in Nespresso's B Corp, but we'll leave that for another podcast. But
we'll leave that for now. And just to say, Alfred is still the consumer agency. They were appointed summer of last year. So their remit is retained. This is a specific sustainability job.
Right. And I think that's where Third City are, well, not exclusively where they're trying to go, but they're trying to build their work in that area, aren't they? And a big win for Four, I think, is that, or yeah, must be.
Four, they have won the National Lottery Heritage Fund account. This is helping to deliver a 10-year strategy, which is called Heritage 23. Whether they've been appointed for 10 years, I don't know.
Right. It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Would be nice. So it's looking at what the National Lottery's kind of shifted, taken more of a long-term view in terms of how they invest funding. So rather than previously what were individual projects, now it's investing into places. It's a real focus on people, on landscape, on nature. So obviously Four have got a great specialism in culture and heritage. They do stuff like the Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park, the Art Fund, and Croydon, who, as you may know, is the London Mayor's Borough of Culture for 23. So it's right in their sweet spot. Good win for them.
Great. And First Light, they're another agency you hear a lot about at the moment.
Yes. So First Light, and it's another whiskey brief, this time for Chivas Brothers. Right. So they've been appointed to handle global corporate comms for brands like Chivas Regal, Ballantine's, the Glenlivet. It's a corporate job. It's raising awareness, again, sustainability and responsibility efforts. Worth noting that the Romans and Pangolin remain on the roster as Chivas's main consumer agencies. So this is
a corporate job for a whiskey brand. I'm trying to work that through my mind, what that actually entails. But do you like your whiskey, Andrew?
More of a vodka and gin drinker, to be honest.
Nice. And a win for Circle, but not as you might think.
Well, it's Circle with a C, not with a K. Right. Which I, to be honest, didn't know there was a Circle PR with a C, but there is.
It was in my mind. I there was somewhere back there. I did. Yeah. Okay. I think they've entered the PR Moment Awards a number of times. But what have they won?
They've won Fairmont Hotels. Right. So pretty awesome account. Fairmont have got 90 properties across the world. Places like the Savoy. I know you're a frequenter of the Savoy. The Fairmont in the Palm.
Just to come in there before everyone takes that. I am not. I mean, I would like to be, but I'm afraid to say I've spent little of my life in the Savoy, but that could change. You never know.
Maybe Circle with the Sea will buy you a drink.
You never know. The finest green tea in the Fairmont.
Yeah, so really nice. I mean, obviously great hotels. They're going to be doing, it's actually a lot of influencer work. They've been doing projects previously, big high-profile events. When you look at the work that they've done, it's very, very impressive.
Right.
And Fairmont, again, continue working with Finn, who handle the consumer side of what they do. So right. It's interesting this month. We're seeing quite a few agencies, specialists sort of being bolted onto rosters.
Which is a bit different from what we've seen previously, isn't it, thinking about it? Quite often it's been, I don't want to use that, one-stop shop is putting it too strongly, but there's been a bit of a race to try and have one agency doing lots of different bits. But I quite like the specialism argument.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about it before. There are these two trends that completely opposed to one another that happen at the same time. And one is around consolidation and the other is around specialism. But I see both of them happening in equal frequency.
Sure. And just while we think about Fairmont Hotels there, Travel's had a good year, hasn't it? You see,
Travel's had a very good year.
It's in rude health.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think, you know, obviously had a horrendous couple of years through COVID.
Yeah.
Travel is back on the agenda, probably.
Which is good to see, because there's some fine people working in travel PR doing a very good job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let them enjoy the good times and long may they last.
And news from M&C.
Yeah, I think this is the final one that I'm going to talk about. Really big, big win for M&C, and I'm really happy for them. They're a great agency. They've won Elizabeth Arden. They're going to be leading the global comms for the brand, beauty brand, strategy, creative. They will partner with local agencies to activate the work. They're going to develop the global strategy. I mean, it's a biggie. It's a really good one.
And where's the market, Andrew? I mean, as we look through there, there's most of that's consumer. There's a bit of travel, which obviously tied in with that. Not that much tech, I noticed when you've gone through that. Where are we with the state of the new business market in public relations at the moment?
In terms of sort of individual areas, you know, consumer is busy. There's a confidence. We're obviously entering that period in the run-up to Christmas, which is a critical period. Travel has been busy for the last 6 to 9 months. Tech, a slowdown, but seeing signs of new confidence, I guess. You know, it's been a pretty horrendous time for some tech companies, but there's already signs of a bit of a bounce back. Some of the sort of financial and corporate stuff we don't always hear about, but that is booming as well. So I feel like the market is in a decent place. It's still tricky-ish. You know, there's still a bit of hesitancy, still delays in sign-offs, but maybe it's the time of year we're just experiencing a bit more of a buoyant period. I never worry about it too much. I think great agencies always do well, regardless of the economy. And it's showing signs of strength.
Right. I mean, tech's the one asterisk to that, isn't it? That's a bit tougher, to be fair, because you've got a few things going on there all at the same time, which is it is genuinely a bit harder in that sector.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the tech sector just needs to realign and readjust, but it's not going to go anywhere. It's always going to need support. So there have been some difficult decisions made, some cutbacks, but it hasn't fallen off a cliff. And as I say, it will come back strong.
Consumers still love their tech, which takes us on to M&A from, go on, just give us, there's a few, you're going to talk us through some micro-ish deals. Well, not micro-ish deals, but some deals that are non-UK based, I should say. And then there's a couple of biggies at the end, which I know we're going to want to talk about in a bit more detail.
Sure. I mean, there's been a lot going on this month, actually, both trade and private equity, a couple of private deals as well. So starting off with one of the big networks, Havas, they acquired APA, Australian Public Affairs, which is a relatively small consultancy, about 20 people, who they're going to rebrand as H Advisors, which is their global strategic comms advisory network. I think what this is, it just sort of signifies their ambition to grow across APAC. They made an acquisition last year of a health comms agency called Bastion Brands. So they're just sort of finding their space in this area. Next one, Omnicom, another of the biggies from the network world. They've acquired Plus Communications and FP1 Strategies. This is a public affairs play primarily, as well as corporate and political consulting. So FP1 is a very well-respected political consulting arm. Plus Communications is a sister agency. They handle more the sort of public affairs, corp comms, crisis side of things.
And that's in the US, isn't it?
That's in the US. This is all about the run-in to the 24 presidential election. So FP1 focuses on Republican candidates and campaigns, and they're quite well known in this space for having helped elect.
And just do the next one on that, and then I was going to come in on there. There's another one you've seen from Milltown.
Yeah, so Milltown have acquired a tech policy consultancy called TISO, which is interesting. I mean, Milltown is an unbelievable company founded by Paddy Harbison and DJ Collins, a real sort of mix of corporate and tech. And you know, they've had a tough time on the tech side recently, but under the sort of their leadership and Jonathan Lentzen, who's the COO there, they built in a relatively short space of time 125 people, super well respected agencies.
It's so this one of those agencies that's doing really, really well, but not that many people have heard of. Do you know what I mean? It's doing that. They've grown a lot over the last couple of years, haven't they?
Yeah, and this is only a relatively small acquisition. It's seven people, but brings with it some big clients, people like Adobe, Niantic. And it's nice to see independent agencies doing deals of their own and building their specialisms.
And I was chatting to someone the other day, and I hadn't had time to check this stat, but they said that there was 400 elections happening globally in the next 18 months. Which just puts in some context you've just gone to three sort of public affairs shop purchases or acquisitions. So there's some activity in that lobbying, public affairs, corporate market, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, especially in the States, it's massive, massive year coming up.
So. Yeah. And SEC Newgate, they continue another purchase for them.
Yes, they continue with the acquisition of WePublic, which is a Dutch public affairs agency. So this is all about just continuing to increase their footprint across Europe, as well as their capabilities, particularly in the digital space. So WePublic are the biggest PA agency in the Netherlands. They're about 40 people. Last month, SEC sort of made that announcement that it was going to receive $100 million of investment from InvestCorp. That sort of gave SEC a huge valuation. InvestCorp became their majority owner with sort of 55% stake. That deal,
we talked about that last month, didn't we?
It hasn't actually gone through yet, right, but I think it's imminent within the next few days, if not weeks. In the meantime, they're ploughing on and buying anything that they can find. So.
Right. And another trade deal from Taito.
Yeah. So Taito have bought Rep, which is a PR and integrated comms agency based out of the Netherlands. This is all about geographic expansion. I think what it's going to do is help Taito partner with global tech companies in that region, give them an HQ.
And that's Brendan Craig, isn't it? Ex-Hotwire. And I think his strategy is essentially to build a virtual, very well connected European agency across various hubs.
That's right. He's built a really, really interesting model. He was all about remote working before it was a thing. Doing great. He's a fantastic operator. Very nice guy. as well. They made a little acquisition last year of an integrated agency called Cubanate. You know, he is super ambitious, and I'm sure this won't be the last acquisition they will make.
Yes, I last spoke to him at the PR Moment Founders Club, and we've got another one of those coming up. So if you're a PR founder out there, let me know, and you can I'll send you an invite to the PR Moment Founders Club. And we've got some biggies now. So let's talk about Lansons first, shall we? Just walk us through that acquisition, because they've been bought by Pharma.
They have. They've been bought by Pharma International. It's Pharma's first agency in the UK, and it gives them, I guess, what they will define as a sort of flagship UK shop. Pharma is, you know, increasing in footprint. Lansons is one of the sort of great reputation management firms, corporate firms on the market. So now Pharma's have about 17 agencies, I think it is, across Europe, with no signs of slowing down. Their, you know, Pharma's fee income as a group is about 80 million-ish. And they've been snapping up agencies at a pretty frequent pace, over the last couple of years. They are...
I mean, they've almost doubled in size over the last couple of years, haven't they?
So they, you know, I mean, it's rapid.
They've been on acquisition strategy.
That's right. Pharma's is backed by Waterland Private Equity, which is the same private equity firm that bought Marketeers earlier this year. And they are the masters of what's called buy and build. And that's what they're doing with Pharma's. They've bought Pharma's. They're now helping them acquire the biggest and the best complementary agencies around them. Same strategy.
I know you can't talk too much about that deal, but you're obviously involved with Waterland and the Marketeers deal. So you probably understand a bit the way around how those sorts of deals are structured anyway. Where do we think we are? That was because Lansons had just had an EOT, isn't it? About 18 months or so back. Fee income in the UK of about 50 million, 88 people. When was it founded? About 35 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. So it's a proper business.
Yeah, it's a proper business. You know, the valuation of businesses normally comes down to scale and specialism in terms of the multiple that's applied. The way that Waterland work is they don't like to get into bids. And lots of companies think the best chance for them to sell and get the best value is by going to market, building a bit of competitive tension, having companies sort of all fighting. Waterland aren't interested in that sort of approach. They want a partner that likes them, that they know they can work with, and they invest time in a non-competitive process. They pay very fairly, so it doesn't make any difference to the firms. So this would have been a process that was not a competitive process. And Tony, Claire, Gordon, the rest of the team will have bought into that philosophy. And obviously it's Pharma that they're buying into, but they need to buy into the broader strategy of what Waterland are aiming to do with Pharma's. It was an EOT, which sometimes makes it complex from a number of perspectives, not least, you know, in this business, I think they quoted something like 33, 34 members of their team had a stake in the company. So from a sort of signing documents perspective, it's a lot of paperwork.
They did want to keep it quiet with that many people involved.
Well, I'm sure the sort of minority shareholders weren't really aware of it until it was time to do a deal.
But... And we should just, I suppose, give a shout out. So Lansons was founded by Tony Langham and Claire Parsons many 30-odd years back. And then Gordon Tempest-Hay was bought in, who's ex-Blue Rubicon stroke Tenio, and he was bought in, don't quote me, something like 18 months, 2 years ago. Yes. And on the face of it, he's done what they wanted him to do. He's spun it and found them an exit.
Yeah, I think, look, what's very important for any company that's being acquired is that there's a great management team. I think Tony, you know, his executive chair, so he is involved in the business. He does get involved with clients, but he's not the man that is running the day-to-day operations of the business. So for any acquirer, they want to know that person is there, that there's a strong management team. I think you know, one of the advantages of an EOT is you've got members of the team who own a stake in the company, so which gives them a level of commitment that perhaps you don't see from non-shareholders.
So, I mean, without going, it's possibly not a coincidence that Lanson's was sold quite soon after its EOT happened, because that showed that a number of employees had equity in the business and had belief in the business, and also that after they'd brought in an external leader, CEO.
I think it probably was a coincidence, actually, because a lot of the reason why people do EOTs, it's a way of taking money off the table without selling the company.
Yeah.
Because effectively, your employees are buying into their stake in the company. I think Gordon Tempest Hay coming on board was more about Tony and Claire taking a bit of a step back. But what they did in that process was set themselves up to be a prime acquisition target. I don't think, and I might be wrong, that I don't think the intention of the EOT was to sell. I don't think necessarily bringing Gordon in, the purpose of it was to sell. But as a result of doing those things, and as a result of being a great company, I mean, don't take it away from what they've achieved as a company. It's a phenomenal company that does brilliant work, blue chip clients, long-standing relationships with clients, excellent team across lots of different levels. So,
and to be fair, corporate PR is in a good place, isn't it? So if you're looking to buy a PR firm right now, as we've just talked to in our list of M&As recently, corporate PR firms are, you know, most of them, all but one, are corporate PR lobbying acquisitions.
Yeah, and Farmers is one to watch for sure. I mean,
just on that EOT thing you mentioned, I think it is coincidence, but it's interesting that Circle and Lanson's both sold relatively soon after doing an EOT, which isn't what you think would be the theory of doing an EOT, is it? Is that just a random element? Is it?
I think so. I mean, you wouldn't set up an EOT if your plan was to sell. I mean,
Employee-owned trust, for anyone who's unsure of our terminology in EOTs. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's done for a long-term employee ownership model. But in both those cases, it's quite interesting that it worked for everybody. There's no downside to it.
Milltown has just become an EOT relatively recently, so maybe they're the next one.
So watch this space.
Watch this space.
And then Powers Corp, which is, I think possibly a bigger deal than Lanson's, isn't it? That's a real biggie.
It's a mega deal. Powers Corp, financial specialists. They've been acquired by Morrow Sodali, who are a US-based advisory firm. I think this deal, you know, could be worth in excess of 50 million. Sodali is majority owned by TPG Growth, which is private equity growth specialist. Powers Corp, about 75 people, mainly in London, some in Dublin. So for Morrow Sodali, what they're going to provide them with a growth platform to be able to build out a full service advisory shareholder services practice across Europe. Morrow Sodali are headquartered in New York. They're about 500 people, 14 offices. And they've been on a run of, you know, what I would say a complementary acquisition. So they bought Citadel Magnus, which is one of Australia's leading corporate comms and investor relation firms. They bought an ESG, well, they bought two ESG consulting firms, HXE Partners and Framework ESG. So they're on a bit of a run as well.
And this is a trade deal, is it? Is that what we're looking at this? Or is it backed by PE?
Backed by PE, right. So TPG Growth.
Right, okay. So it's another one of those where someone has got private equity backing and is then going on a shopping spree.
Yeah, TPG are quite interesting. They've been going for nearly 20 years now, but they either sort of look at early stage companies or they take minority growth positions or they do growth buyouts. They're quite creative in terms of the way that they work, but effectively it's a buy and build strategy.
Right. And Powers Corp is one of those firms that is, you know, I've been aware of and has properly on a run. Do you know what I mean? They're growing I've struggled to find the most recent fee income I can find is from about 2021 on a press release I found, about 40 million. I bet they're a lot more than that now. And that would certainly, when you hear about that, it's been reported, isn't it, around £50 million acquisition, and that would tie in with a fair bit of growth in the last couple of years.
Yeah, they're a decent size. They're a specialist. I would have thought they'd have got a pretty good multiple.
I mean, it's pure speculation. We should just add that. We're having fun, aren't we? Where do you reckon a ratio, a multiple of for a big corporate PR firm like that might be in the region of
High single figure multiple on their EBITDA, their profit.
And you get that because it's corporate, which is where you want to be as a buyer of PR firms right now, and because you're buying scale.
Yeah, basically, the bigger a company is, the more value it has, and the more specialist a company is, the more value it has, especially when it's in a sector like finance, public affairs, healthcare, technology. You know, they command a premium.
Right. Andrew Block, thank you very much for coming on the show. That was fun.
Pleasure, as always.
Thanks for listening to the PR Moment podcast, produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
If you'd enjoyed the show, please do review us on iTunes and give us a decent rating.